Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, contributing editor and film critic for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Jason Harris, filmmaker and comedian, who can be found at jasonharriscomedy.com. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Do you hate me?
I do not hate you.
I'll try harder.
Yes, there you go. You should do something hateful maybe during this show.
Listeners, if you hear something that sounds like me punching Josh in the face during the podcast, it's me punching Josh in the face.
There you go. We can all look forward to that. Let's start with funny people. That's pretty much the only thing going this week, or the biggest thing going at least, which is Judd Apatow's new film, starring Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen as stand-up comedians. Sandler plays sort of a thinly veiled version of himself as this incredibly rich movie star who's made a lot of really dumb but successful comedies. And he discovers that he's dying of some rare movie disease and sort of decides to go back into doing a little stand-up comedy. And he meets Seth Rogen, who's a struggling young stand-up comedian, and hires him to be his assistant slash friend slash whatever.
Joke writer.
And they bond. And then an hour in, it turns into a completely different movie, which becomes about Adam Sandler's character. And I guess it's not really a spoiler to say that he is cured of his disease.
They show it in the commercials.
They do. Yeah. So, which is kind of ridiculous when you know that it's going to happen and you're just waiting around for it. But he gets better and he decides with his new lease on life, he's going to go get back the woman he let get away, which was Leslie Mann, who is now married to Eric Bana. And so they go to her house and they spend a very, very long time at their house discussing and arguing and angsting over whether she and Adam Sandler are going to get back together. And I wanted to like it, I think, because Judd Apatow, he's reaching for something. And I appreciate that when he's got artistic ambition here more than just dumb jokes. But this movie does not hold together well, I don't think.
If you asked me at the beginning of the year if there was one movie that I was looking forward to in 2009, what it would be, this was the movie for me. And then I saw, you know, the trailer, and I was so into the trailer, and it was so disappointing, like how just uncohesive and just the movie just didn't work on so many levels. I was so sad afterwards. So
you were crying.
No, I'm not saying that, but in a way I disagree with you as far as him like reaching for something artistic. I honestly felt like there was more, you know, kind of merit to what he was doing in like Knocked Up and stuff like that, because at least those were stories that made sense and they had overarching themes.
I mean, I don't think this works, but I think he's trying. I think he has ambition here. The second half of the movie is really serious. Like, there's very little humor in that whole, like, last hour of the movie.
I don't know. I feel like there are just as many cock jokes in this thing as there are in any other movie.
Well, that's true. So there are a lot of cock jokes.
So I just don't agree. Like, I think that's what they were going for, and that's what he said, you know, in all the, like, press interviews. He's like, yeah, this is my next step in the evolution. And I'm like, dude, it's just the same thing, except it's a little more sentimental.
It is quite sentimental. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it worked either, but I do think it has. I mean, he's talked in interviews about how he wants it to be like Terms of Endearment or something like that. I mean, really serious stuff. He had like Paul Thomas Anderson consulting with him on this film. I mean, you know, the guy takes himself quite seriously these days.
It's amazing that there was so much talent involved and it went so wrong, because like in every level it pretty much went wrong. And you compared it when we saw it to like a Cameron Crowe. He wanted to be Cameron Crowe.
Yeah.
It lacked all the kind of, I guess I can't think of the word, but grace of like a good Cameron Crowe movie, like an Almost Famous.
That's a good word, yeah.
Just flows and everything comes together the right way.
Right.
Everything just felt so rammed down your throat, forced in this one.
But yeah, and it doesn't, the pieces don't fit together very well. I think that's the problem, is that it starts out there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of dick jokes and a lot of vulgar sort of humor in the first hour and stuff with Seth Rogen. And Jonah Hill and Jason Schwartzman, who play his roommates, who I thought the chemistry among the three of them was kind of entertaining, and they have a few funny moments to their relationship, but that just then gets sort of pushed away to the side.
Yeah. Well, Schwartzman to me was like, when Josh and I saw this together at a screening, and I said to him, like, when Schwartzman was on screen, is it just me or is he better than everyone he's acting with? You know, like,
yeah.
There's just a different layer of subtlety to his work. But I also think, and this to me is a problem with the Apatow movies now, when he first started coming out, you know, those actors were so fresh and different, and now they are all so overexposed.
That's true.
Like, and you're just, there's nothing to expect from them. Like, Jonah Hill, you can take a little more because it's more small doses and he can deliver good stuff. But, like, Seth Rogen, man, I don't know what he can possibly do at this point to... Yeah.
He can be the Green Hornet.
I guess so, but it's just, dude, he's so overexposed that I just said dude to start that sentence, you know? And I loved, like, you know, Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
I loved Undeclared, which he was on. I was a huge fan of Knocked Up, 40-Year-Old Virgin. I was happy to, but it's just, he's done the same thing over and over and over again, that even when he does something different, like Observe and Report, like, you're almost like, do I like it because it's different, or do I like it, you know, is there any reason to like it?
Yeah. You know? Well, I didn't think there really was much reason to like Observe and Report, but I agree. I think that's the thing about Seth Rogen. He's overexposed and he has a very limited range as an actor. I mean, and same goes for Jonah Hill even more so. And even Sandler, who really carries this whole movie, I think is so limited as a dramatic actor. And I don't like him as a comedic performer. I don't think he's funny, but I think also just as an actor, there's one scene where he and Leslie Mann kind of reconnect when he still thinks he's dying and he's trying to reach out to people, and there's all this crying and she's like, you're the love of my life, and he says, oh, you're the love of my life, and it was just so completely hollow. It meant absolutely nothing. I did not buy it in any way.
Yeah, I thought she was good in the movie.
She was fine, but her character has
no
depth.
Yeah, there's nothing there. I mean, really, if you look at it from an acting standpoint, the standouts were, you know, I guess Leslie Mann was fine. Eric Bana with the little that they gave him was fine.
Yeah.
Schwartzman and Aziz Ansari was great as Randy.
In two scenes.
Yeah, it's, you know, I saw this, the Comedy Central special, and they said, you know, halfway through they decided that they should just make a movie about him. And I was like, that would have been awesome because he's so ridiculous and, like, just nails it. But not just that, there's the scene at the end where, again, not giving anything away, she has to make her choice between her husband and the George Simmons character, which is Adam Sandler, and he gives, like, the big speech, and you're like, you know, like...
Yeah, he's not a big speech kind of guy.
And it's weird, because you had mentioned that Paul Thomas Anderson consulted, and I think if you would say his... Like, I like Adam Sandler. I've always liked, like, the Happy Gilmores, the Billy Madisons, the stuff like that, and, like, I enjoy, like, his comedies still sometimes, you know, but... If you were looking just at an acting piece, you would probably say Punch Drunk Love, the Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah, and that's definitely, I think, the high. I didn't really care for that movie, but I think in terms of Sandler's career, that's probably the high point for him as an actor.
Yeah, Little Nicky aside.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But yeah, this, it just, and I want, like I said, I wanted to like this movie. I wanted to like everything about it, and I really liked very little about it, sadly.
So. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm kind of lukewarm on Apatow in a lot of ways, and I felt like Knocked Up was a little overrated, but I think he knows how to make a funny movie, and maybe somewhere in this movie there was something good and funny and just entertaining, but it's so bloated, too. It's almost 2.5 hours long, and it just, yeah, it's I think, a case of a guy who's got carte blanche to do whatever he wants. He's got this sense of being a big, important filmmaker, and he just doesn't have the talent as a director to back it up.
I don't even think it was that. I just think the problem started in the script on this one, because I feel like if you had just read the script, you would have been like, and you didn't have Judd Apatow's name on it, you would have said, like, what the hell is this? This is two separate movies. And then you almost wonder if he had gone with some of his other... People like, what if Paul Rudd was the star of this movie? You know, that might have been an interesting
thing. That might have been better. I mean, certainly Paul Rudd is a much better actor than Adam Sandler is. But I think still, I mean, I don't think you're wrong
Steve
about the
Steve Carell or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, either of them would have done a better job with the part. But I think you're probably right that the script is faulty. And I definitely think that, you know, part of the direction is sort of molding that script into some cohesive. And he does so much improvisation that I'm sure a lot of the stuff that goes on in the movie wasn't in the script. And you got to hammer that into some sort of coherent movie, and he didn't.
Part of the problem, which he's always gotten away with, is like his comedies are longer than everybody else's. But that was for movies like 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up, which I really like, you know, like, and a lot of people do. Like, that's fine because it holds together and it's one story. But this is just like everything got away from him. Type thing. And, you know, obviously they're all doing press, but I like hearing them all say, this is the best movie I've ever worked on. And, you know, you had mentioned, and this is an interesting point, you had mentioned that there was probably a good comedy in there. The first hour is not a bad hour.
No, it's not. It's not bad. It is fairly entertaining, that first
hour.
And
that, to me, would have been a really interesting story. Biggest movie star in the world decides to go back to his roots and, like, do stand-up again, you know? And I think – and that was one of the other things that bothered me with the film is, you know, I am a stand-up comedian, and that whole world of stand-up felt so false to me. It was such – it was bullshit is what it was. There was nothing honest about it, and there was no, like, struggle for any of these guys. And on top of that, you could tell, like, from a stand-up comedy standpoint that these guys are not guys who write jokes because the jokes just – for the most part, 80% of them just sucked, you know?
Well, and they were all kind of the same. And this is, I think I read this in another review somewhere, is that the comedy that they do doesn't connect really in any way to their characters.
Right.
And it doesn't illuminate anything. It doesn't give you a sense of them as artistic people. I mean, theoretically, these are actors, they're writers, they're performers. They have some sort of something to say about something, you would imagine, and that doesn't come across at all.
In the special, that comedy special, Central, they said that, you know, Patton Oswalt did some scenes, and they were like, we wanted to put a stand-up in, but we couldn't because it would have exposed just how much of a better stand-up comedian he is than everyone else. And you're right, though. Like, every joke, like I like edgy comedy. I work edgy comedy, but, like, every joke is like, ah, my ball's this, and my dick that, and I farted this. And it's like, dude, like, be a little more creative. Like, you know, I know they had some good comedians help write jokes for this thing. So,
I mean, and all of these the actors, Sandler and Rogan, both started as comedians. Judd Apatow was a comedian for like 8 years or something like that.
Yeah, it was. And you know, I think they all worked their acts out together. It was Apatow and Sandler working on Sandler's act, Apatow and Seth Rogen working on his act. And you could tell that they're just like, they're the same. It was almost amateurish, which was unfortunate because I feel like that's the world that I think a lot of people could have gotten into, especially with Judd Apatow, had he touched it the way he did, like something like Knocked Up or whatnot, you know, it would have been a much better movie. And then, you know, the whole thing with the disease, completely unnecessary, you know.
Right. Well, and it rings false, too. I never got the emotional weight of this guy worried about dying, or the scenes like with the doctor and stuff are so cursory. It didn't seem like a real medical thing at all.
I just feel like if you could have, you didn't need it, you know, if the whole point of the disease seemed to be for him to reconnect with whoever else, like all these people, and get his life in order, he could have easily just have been the biggest movie star and said, look at my life. There's nothing, you know, there that means anything. I need to go back and do this, and which would have been a more Jerry Maguire, Cameron Crowe type thing. And
right. You know. It is so, I mean, the music too, which we haven't even mentioned, but I mean, all the use of these sort of bland classic rock songs to underscore like montages and montages, and the score itself, which is co-written by Jason Schwartzman, is just so bland.
Blasé.
But like, yeah, exactly. But at the same time, it sounds like it wants to be really meaningful.
Yeah, well, the difference is Cameron Crowe, I'd say, is one of the best filmmakers ever for using music in the right place and getting emotion out of it, you know?
Right.
Like, you can think of moment after moment, you know, Secret Garden and Jerry Maguire, or Hold Me Closer, Tiny Dancer, and, you know, Almost Famous.
That's a great moment.
Yeah, so you can do all that stuff. But with this, yeah, you're right. Like, the classic rock stuff is just, it's so, like, down the line.
It's very middle of the road.
Exactly.
Sort of stuff.
And the score that you're talking about with Schwartzman, I like Jason Schwartzman as a musician. Like, you know, his bands are cool. Like, I think they're good indie rock bands, but this was just so, like, they were like, hey, whatever you're doing, put some edge on your music, take it out.
Get rid of all the edge.
Don't do anything with edge. But I did like him. I think he's a really good actor.
He is a good actor. I mean, I think, and that's part of the difference, is that he is an actor, whereas some of these other people seem sort of limited by being just, I don't want to say just comedians, because that's not really fair, but they just have that sort of comedy thing. Like, you know, they don't have hidden depths of talent. I don't think Seth Rogen or Adam Sandler or Jonah Hill.
And I'd like to see, I would love it if they did.
Right. No, that's great. And a lot of times people who start out as stand-up comedians do suddenly, you know, they reveal all these levels of ability as actors. But I just don't see that in this movie. So, yeah, it, very disappointing. It's a shame. And I don't know if I mean, is Judd Apatow, is he sort of on the downward slope at this point?
I mean, you wonder, you know, I think a lot of it is going to depend on what the reviews are and how much money the movie makes. And there really isn't much else coming this weekend. So you expect it to be number one.
Yeah, I think so.
But I don't – I see, the thing is, like, I liked his movies, and I loved Forgetting Sarah Marshall, which he didn't direct, but he produced, you know. But you wonder, like, because he said this is, you know, where he's evolving to. Like, well, why? You know, like, what are you going to do? I wonder if it – but his – it's weird because the TV shows he did had so much heart, and I would think you would say that. And you know.
Yeah. I mean, Freaks and Geeks is comedic, but it's not a comedy necessarily. It has a lot of seriousness to it, and it worked, I thought, very, very well.
Yeah. And, you know, I would say one of the points that 40-Year-Old Virgin and Knocked Up had for it was that the heart shined through, whatever, you know. And like that, and this one, there was just like, it was so forced. Everything felt so forced. And
Just, and very self-indulgent, I think, on his part and on Sandler's part. I mean, they're the part where Sandler's character is jamming with, I don't know who those musicians were, but some, I don't know, some cool indie rock musicians, I guess, and they're playing that Beatles song. And it just seemed like Adam Sandler wanted to play a Beatles song with some cool musicians, so we threw that in.
You want to talk about self-indulgent? There's a scene after he finds out that he beats the disease, and they go to like a bar to celebrate.
Right.
And you see
just all the cameos.
Yeah, it's celebrity cameo after celebrity cameo, and there's this whole thing with Eminem in there, and you're like, why is he in here other than to show that you know Eminem, you know, and Ray Romano and Norm Macdonald and David Tell and whoever else, and none of it is there for any reason at all. Like, this whole thing with Eminem is supposed to be, I guess, poignant in regards to, like, because they do, like, a back and forth, and Eminem gives him his speech, because, you know, that makes sense for the movie. And it's just, like, the only reason this is in here is because you know Eminem, know? Like, totally, it was just masturbatory.
It really was. And it kind of undermines, I think, whatever emotional value that scene could have, theoretically, because it is a moment where Eminem is telling him important stuff that he needs to realize about his life. But all you're thinking is like, what the hell, Eminem? Yeah. What is going on with Eminem here?
Yeah.
And yeah, that is completely distracting. And it doesn't feel real either. A lot of those comedians who show up like David Tell and Norm Macdonald for like little 2-second cameos, they don't sell any. I mean, Norm Macdonald has never spoken any sincere words in his entire life. And I love Norm Macdonald.
He's awesome.
But he's not the kind of person to put in this movie at this point.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, again, had they just focused on the world of stand-up comedy and the ins and outs, and there's this one, you know, side character who's a comedian who Seth Rogen has a crush on.
Oh, right, who, like, is also completely underdeveloped.
Yeah, you almost, and, you know, they have this big Thanksgiving scene and blah, 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 and it's like, had you just stuck to that world, you know, you still could have brought the girl back in. You could have had George Simmons tour and, you know, like, hey, I've been, you know, I'm so famous and I need to go see this thing. But it just was so scattered and all over the place and just highly, highly disappointing. Sadly.
Yes. No, I completely agree. I was very disappointed. I give this 2 out of 5 stars, I think.
I'll go on tomatoes because, you know, the old tradition of throwing tomatoes at comedians. And 0 tomatoes would be the highest out of, you know, because you want 0 to
succeed. Right, exactly.
So out of 5 tomatoes being thrown at you, sadly, you're getting 3.5 tomatoes thrown at you.
It's not good. It's very disappointing. Also, like, really not a lot of note this week, but there is a documentary called Valentino, the Last Emperor, which is opening over at the Village Square, that is about the fashion designer Valentino. Kind of a not whole lot of substance, very fawning. And the guy is obviously a huge talent and is spent nearly 50 years as a fashion designer. And this is chronicles sort of the last year of his career before he retired. But it was a disappointing movie to me because I think the filmmaker loses the opportunity to really reveal something about this guy who's such a huge control freak. But every time some like moment comes where he might break his facade, the guy literally pushes the camera away. And I mean, I'm sure as a filmmaker, there's nothing to do with it you can do about that. But it just turns into sort of this superficial thing. And they spend some time with his longtime lover slash business partner. And there's some interesting stuff about that guy kind of living in the shadow of this other person forever. But
he's gay.
Yes, a fashion designer who's gay. I know, it's shocking.
Bombshell people. Yes.
But disappointing, I think, unless you're a huge fashion nut or something, that's probably missable. So, and then on DVD this coming Tuesday is The Soloist, which is another disappointing film.
Disappointing, agreed.
From Joe Wright, who is a really impressive visual director, I think.
Technically one of the best.
Absolutely, who directed Atonement and Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley. And this movie, which is with Robert Downey Jr. and Jamie Foxx, and based on a true story. Jamie Foxx is this schizophrenic homeless musician who's a musical prodigy, and Robert Downey Jr. plays a newspaper reporter who tries to help him. And it definitely does have that actorly playing a mentally challenged person,
Oscar,
and I would
Oscar
like
bait.
An award. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kind of thing going for Jamie Foxx, and it's overwrought and right. He tries really hard to jazz it up with all this visual stuff, but it's just it's not right for the story. I don't think
it just never takes off. Like you get to the point where like you need it to hit the next level, and there is no next level on it. Sadly,
no, there really isn't. So that
unfortunately.
Was that was this, and I like Robert Downey Jr. He's done a lot of good work.
Yeah, awesome
in the last
actor.
Few years, and he's entertaining. But again, there's not much to the character, who's basically just a facilitator for.
Yeah, he's probably
crazy
the
Jamie
most
Foxx.
The most entertaining part of the film.
Yeah,
but it just they're. Just was nowhere to go.
No. And I think I read recently that Joe Wright had signed on. I forget the details, but it was a period piece. So I think
that's
he's
probably
back where
best
he should
for him.
Be. Yeah, I think so. So, so don't rent The Soloist and don't see Funny People, I think is the bottom line this week.
This is a sad week. You know, next week at least you have G.I. Joe or something.
Oh, yeah,
like that.
That'll be really something to look forward to.
But
also,
yeah, I think, the thing, it's called Josh Bell Hates Everything. But yeah. Really, neither of us wanted to dislike this movie.
So. I think I would have loved for this movie to be great because I like seeing people like Judd Apatow, who do comedies, do something that gets a lot of real, genuine respect as filmmaking. But I don't think this
not
is
just
that,
it's a guy who, career was, I had a show that was critically acclaimed, then it got canceled prematurely twice, and so he really dug himself out of the trenches.
Right.
And he was doing something different than everybody else when he came out with 40-Year-Old Virgin and then Knocked Up. And
now his thing is what everyone does because he's so successful.
I think so. And, I know The Hangover is still out there. And
right.
It seems like that might be the next wave of the type of comedies that are coming out.
Yeah.
But the Apatow things do feel a little stale now, don't they?
I think they do. And The Hangover it still has that sort of male bonding theme to it, but it's a lot more outrageous. And a lot more – it's not as concerned with heart. I mean, I would say it's virtually – there's virtually no heart in The Hangover, which is not bad. I mean, I think it's just about being funny. And Todd Phillips has already signed on to do two more movies, both with Zach Galifianakis. I mean, obviously they're trying to capitalize – one with Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis, which should be interesting.
It sounds like fun. And also, one of the things about The Hangover that was so good was all those actors felt so fresh to the screen.
That's true,
so.
Right. It wasn't just like, hey, look, it's Paul Rudd and Jason Segel and Seth Rogen.
Although Paul Rudd, I still think is awesome.
It's not to say that they're bad. And Paul Rudd is another one of those guys who I think is more than just a guy who makes jokes. I mean, he's a good
actor. He's a great
actor. And he can be in dramatic films and do good work with that stuff,
And
too.
I don't think Segel is nearly as overexposed as, a Seth Rogen.
That's true. Well, certainly, no one's as overexposed as Seth Rogen right now in terms of comedy.
Yeah, there's no turnoff to seeing Jason Segel.
No, but I think you're right that part of the appeal of The Hangover was that we really haven't seen these guys in a lot of movies or almost any movies at all. And it was exciting. So, and that's still out. So check that out if you haven't seen it. My thanks to Jason Harris for joining me. JasonHarrisComedy.com. And you are doing a show at the Firefly Lounge or what is it?
Yeah, the Fly Lounge at the Firefly, 3900 Paradise Road. We have our monthly show there on August 6th, Fly By Night Comedy. It's a fun show. Doors at 8, show at 9, full menu available. Free show, everybody. Come on
down.
Awesome.
So check that out and see real stand-up comedy as opposed to what's in Funny People. So thanks again to Jason Harris, and for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right.